Today we're lucky to have Ron Simpson, BSF, who's lead concierge specialist at Vinci, the VA Informatics and Computing Infrastructure. And as it is at the top of the hour, Ron, can I turn it over to you?
Yes, Rob. Thank you very much. Let me show my screen.
Perfect.
Okay. Welcome, everybody. My name is Ron Simpson, and I'm a Vinci lead concierge specialist. Today I'm going to be going over Dart Access Request Tracker, which is also known as Dart. We'll title this Forms, Follow, and Function today. So what I'd like you to do is follow me as we dive deeper into Dart. I'm going to put on a demo today to show how to amend a Dart. I'm going to discuss the forms that are needed for IRB research studies in Dart, and these will be the main forms. And then we're going to have a question and answer period with all of you, probably on a lot of the forms, and we'll go on from there. So let's start the Dart demo. Actually, we'll start the poll. Rob, take it away.
Great, thanks. The poll is up, and the question is, how familiar are you with amending a Dart request? Answer options, I submit them often. I watch someone amend a Dart request. I have never amended a Dart request, and I would like to learn what is needed to amend a Dart request. We have about 50% of our attendees voted, so I'm going to leave things up for a little bit longer. Oh, they just jumped up to over 70. And have leveled off just around 80. So I'm going to close the poll and share out the results. And Ron, 22% answered that they submit them often. Only 4% answered that they have watched someone amend a Dart request. 45% answered, I have never amended a Dart request. And 29% answered, I'd like to learn what is needed to amend a Dart request. Back to you.
Excellent. Thanks, Rob. Well, that's some great numbers here for this particular cyber seminar today, because I'm going to go through and let you know what is needed for amending a Dart request. So let's move on to the actual demo. This is showing your Dart dashboard. You want to log on to Dart, and you'll see any requests that you have put in into Dart listed on your dashboard. Now, I've picked one of the previous Darts that I've worked on and have used it to show how to actually amend it. So as you can see to the right of the screen, you do see an actions button, the blue actions button. That is where you're going to either view your Dart submission. And you can also then click amend, and that is how you start the amendment process. So this is the next pop-up after you hit amend on the actions button. And it's going to ask you to give an amendment narrative. Now this is what you're going to actually do in the change of what you're doing with the study. So, for instance, you could be adding participants to the study. You could be removing participants from the study. You could be adding data domains to the study, other data sources, updating your IRB, continuing review, things of that nature. So for the benefit of our reviewers, what we'd like you to do in that amendment narrative is be relatively specific. We don't need a book necessarily, but to the benefit of our reviewers, when you add study participants, instead of just saying adding study participants, if you could write their names in of, you know, who you're adding, who you're removing, it makes the process go that much faster when the reviewers are looking at the changes, so they don't have to go through and necessarily dig through a needle in a haystack. So for this instance, I actually added two participants, and I'll show you on the next slide. As you can see next to the red arrow, I've put in adding ad participants Jay Tucker and Timothy Troutman. That shows up as soon as you hit the amend request button. At that point, I want to make sure that my IRB expiration date is still in, well, it's basically not in the past. We need it current. If you need to change an amendment narrative, you can always email us at vinci@va.gov, and we can do that on the back end for you. So on the next participants page, you can see that I've added, I had myself on here before, but I've added Jay Tucker. I've given him the station number, which we are in Salt Lake City. I've checked notifications and data access, and I did the same thing for Timothy Troutman. Now, to be able to find these people, what I did is I actually clicked on the Find People button, and it brings a pop-up up to ask, what name are you looking for? You want to put in last name, comma, first name, and then click search. You'll get a list of people, depending on how many names. If you put in Matt Smith, you'll get a lot. If you put in Ronald Simpson, you'll get two. And so you'll find the people, and then you'll come down here, and you'll click on the drop-down for select location, and you'll find their location that they are at. You'll check the notifications box and the data access box if they do need notifications and data access. And the key portion or the key part of things here is to click the add button. I've seen a few times where people have gone through real quick and say, I can't keep people in here when I'm adding them. Well, they're going through everything except clicking the add button. So that's very important. So moving on, this shows the data sources page. I haven't changed anything on this for the amended Dart demo, but I did want to show you at least for those who haven't necessarily seen Dart, which I've invited several people recently to the cyber seminar, and they're new to Dart. So this shows the data storage location where you can have your data in Vinci. You can have it at a local server location at your facility, or you can have it at both. Now, moving down the page for the data sources, this is also where you will find the identifiers, which let's say you want real Social Security number approval, you would check on the real Social Security numbers. We also have scrambled SSN and identifiable data, but no real or scrambled SSNs. And then I've picked, for this purpose, I've picked CDW production domains and the vital status files in SQL format. This just shows the rest of the data sources that are available. We have several different other data sources that are available, some of which are independent workflows, and the data is actually delivered from that particular entity. Okay, so one of the things that I wanted to talk about is what is required when you add participants as far as the research request memo goes. And I'm going to put in a caveat here of adding participants for data access, removing participants from the study, and adding data sources. This is where you need to update the research request memo. We have that on our data VHA data portal. You can also click on this little link here that says Dart Process and Forms, and that'll take you to the VHA data portal to get a clean copy template of the research request memo. So as you can see here, I've got version 1 of my IRB letter, my R&D letter, my HIPAA-compliant authorization. But since I added Jay and Tim to the start, I needed to update my research request memo and add them on the list there. So I did so, and I clicked on the upload button. I browsed for my new letter, and then I clicked upload, and you can see that it did upload on the 1st at 3:25 p.m., and it was done by me. So then you can actually click on the V2 and see that it'll say this is the current version. You can then also view the research request memo if you'd like. Now, as I move down the page to the data sources, the documentation page, I have also needed to add the vital status rules of behavior. I did that for myself back in July of 2017, but since I added Timothy and Jay, I needed to upload their forms. So as you can see, I went through and added their vital status rules of behavior form. That's also found on the BHA data portal. And then this is the screen that you would get after you are ready to submit the amendment. And you just click on the submit request button, and it is sent to National Data Systems, otherwise known as NDS, for approval. So that really concludes the demo for amended DART. And at this point, I'm going to go into DART required documents. So basically, we're going to have the research request memo. We're going to need an IRB approval letter from your local IRB or the CIRB, which is the central IRB.
Hey, Ron?
Yes.
We had one question that just came in as you finished that segment. Would you like to address it now, or would you rather wait until you're finished?
Sure.
Now, okay. If you add someone to DART study to do just the DART admin, so no data access, I assume you check just the notification box. Does this person have to be shown on the IRB paperwork as being on the study for IRB purposes? I assume they would also not have to be on the research request memo.
For notifications for, say, like a project coordinator, you would need to be a participant in DART and only have notifications checked. If you don't need data access, you do not need to add your name to the research request memo. So that is a great question. As far as the IRB approval letter, I believe you do need to be on the IRB approval letter to still be on as a project coordinator. But that's something that I can clarify with you one-on-one as well.
Thanks, Ron. A couple more came in. Do you want to address them now? Or?
Sure. I'll take a couple more now, and then we'll continue on.
Okay. How long does the approval typically take to add a participant for data access?
Usually it's within a week. It can be faster than that. It could be slower than that. It all depends on how many requests are in the queue for NDS to go through and review to approve.
Thank you. That's the only one for you to answer. The others are for slides. Thanks a lot, Ron.
Okay, perfect. All right, so continuing on, I was talking about the IRB approval letter, and that can come from your local IRB, which could be a university affiliate as well, or the CIRB, central IRB, as I had said. For each site that is going to be on the DART request, you will need the Research and Development Committee approval letter. So, for instance, if you have, say, three different stations that are working with that particular study, then you'll need three research and development committee approval letters from each of those locations. You'll need your research protocol, of course. We will need a HIPAA informed consent and authorization or waiver. If you do need real SSN access, we do have a form for that, and that's something that we'll go through as well. We do have our CDW domain checklist, which has a variety of corporate data warehouse, production, and raw domains, as well as a few other data sources. There are other additional data source specific forms such as SqueeDug for surgery data, OEF, OIF, roster file, which unfortunately is still not available for research. But there are several other forms there that I won't be going through because they are a separate entity. And their offices would be able to help you with their forms. And again, all of these forms can be found on our VHA data portal. I've put the link down below here. And again, that is only available through the VA intranet. You do have to be on the VA connection to be able to see all of these different things for DART as well as the forms and so on and so forth. So let's go into the research request memo. I get a lot of questions on this, and so I'm going to go through here and kind of talk about what is needed. Obviously, your date, that's pretty self-explanatory. It asks for the name of the principal investigator, and then it's going to also ask for the tracking number and the name of the protocol. The tracking number is your DART tracking number. So, for instance, for this one, I believe it was 2017-07-014. I'd have to look back at the slides. But you would put that number in this box here and then also the full name of the protocol. And at that point, then you're going to, on the first portion of the memo, you're going to have these check boxes here. So we'll go through them. Are all participants requesting access a VA employee or WAC employee? Obviously, you're going to want to check yes to that. If they don't have a VA affiliation, they cannot be on the study. So they either need to be a VA employee, WAC, or they could be a contractor as well. Is this request for data use for VA research studies, including pilot studies? The answer to that would be yes. Is this request for activities preparatory to research? The answer to that would be no. We do have a preparatory to research study option through DART, but as soon as you go to your IRB and submit your IRB, your protocol to them for the IRB approval letter, you cease any and all preparatory to research activities. Then we can move on to select the types of data needed. Have the option again of real SSN, scrambled SSN, or PHI, which is protected health information, but no SSN. Now, this needs to match what is in your actual DART request. So you do want to be careful to make sure that these do match correctly. The next question, is access to CAPRI and VistaWeb being requested? If you click yes, it's going to actually pop up four other boxes that will ask it whether it's pursuant to the HIPAA waiver for partial of it, for full, and a few others. I don't have a slide on that one, but they're pretty self-explanatory. If you click no, obviously, then you're not requesting access to those. Now, I'm anticipating questions on what is Capri and VistaWeb, so I will go ahead and answer that now. Capri is an application that provides read-only access to veterans' EHR, or electronic health records. It's a user-friendly method to get into their actual national electronic health records. VistaWeb itself has changed over, has migrated over to what's called Joint Legacy Viewer. So when you look at the form that you have to fill out for Capri and VistaWeb access, you will now notice that it says JLV. So JLV, Joint Legacy Viewer, it provides an integrated read-only view for health data for all of the VA and the Department of Defense, where the partner sites for veteran services. So if you do need that, then you can click yes to that question. The next question is AITC mainframe being requested? Now, the AITC mainframe is one of the data sources available within DART. Most of the data that's within the mainframe has been converted over to CDW or the corporate data warehouse. So more than likely, you're going to click no on this. If you do click yes, you'll need a username, and you'll work with your local CUPS point of contact to request that. With the next question we have is access to VSSC or MCA web reports being requested. Those VSSC is a VA, I believe, self-support center, and they have over 800 different products and reports and so on and so forth. So you can visit their site to see if some of the reports would be good for your study. If you do click yes to this, then it'll ask you what reports are you actually looking for. So that's where you'll list them. And it'll give a pop-up box that's similar to this that shows in blue. Next question is, will any requested data be transferred outside of the VA? If you are looking to actually transfer data to an outside entity, such as if you're doing a recruitment and you need to send out mailers, and you're using an outside entity for that, you would click yes here, and you would be required to fill out a data use agreement that specifies the whole intent of moving that data outside of the VA environment. In most cases, you're going to check no to this question. And then lastly, will the data be stored in the Vinci environment? You can click on yes, no, or both. Now, again, this has to match what is in your DART. For the DART demo that I did, I have both the VA or Vinci and the VA local server checked. So in this case, I click both to match the DART. Now, when you click both, it's going to ask you the name of the facility, the building number, the room number, street address, city, state, and zip, and country of where the actual local server resides. This information is usually found by either your information security officer or your research and development committee. And then as we go down the request memo, we're going to then start addressing some of the items that NDS looks for in what you're going to be doing basically in the study. You're going to give a summary of what you're going to do and how you're going to use the data that you're requesting through DART here. So you're going to describe how the data is transferred between transfer agency and custodian, and any methods that you'll take to secure transmission of the data. So, for instance, if you're using Vinci and your local server and you want to bring down, say, a spreadsheet to send out mailings, you would basically write that in, that you would be using our Vinci download utility to transfer so-and-so information to be able to send out as a mailer. I'm just giving an example there. You're going to also describe how the data will be securely retained with the custodian's network. So basically your security measures of how you're going to keep the data secure and out of the hands of anybody else who's not got access to be able to view the data itself. Next, you'll describe how and by whom the data will be accessed. This is where you're going to describe the summary of, you know, you're getting data from the corporate data warehouse, so on and so forth, and then you'll list the actual participants that are on the DART participants page on the memo itself as well. And you'll list them by name and if they're a VA employee, contractor, or a WOC. You want to describe how long the data will be retained after project completion and how the data will be destroyed. We can certainly help with giving you information on how that all works as well. You can always contact us at vinci@va.gov. We'd be happy to help answer your questions. And then you're going to describe how you will maintain an auditing of the activity of both user and locations of the data. So basically how you're going to make sure that the data is not being transferred outside of what you have been given access to. So you want to put in a good blurb about that. So at the end of the research request memo, kind of restates in these blue boxes what I've kind of gone over before. Please describe the data that you're requesting. The data must reflect the data discussed in your protocol or HIPAA waiver and what is selected in DART. Then you want to provide the high-level summary of how the requested data is going to be used in the research study, which, you know, basically is your what is in your protocol. If you do need real SSN access, please provide a justification. So, for instance, if you need Capri access for the national electronic health records, then you do require real SSN access, and that would be your justification. And then lastly, you're going to list the participants' names and whether they're a VA employee, contractor, or WOC. And then we have a box down here that says the estimated time the data will be needed for. Take your best guess on that one. And lastly, signatures. We do need for each request memo that is done, we do need the name of the principal investigator to sign the form. We do need the name and title of the supervisor of the PI to sign this. And then we do also require the information security officer to sign this. Now, the reason they do that is the ISO verifies your training account status in TMS to make sure you're up to date with all of your research training, and then they will sign off on it based on that information. This can be a point of contention with some of our researchers where the information security officer might not be available as easily as needed. However, these required signatures are simply plain required. We can't get a DART through approval without them. Now you'll notice that it looks like it's you can sign electronically, but we do still take wet signatures. So if you can catch them in the hallway, instead of waiting for an email to come back, you're more than welcome to do so. All right, so that covers the research request memo. I'm going to go into our IRB approval letter. Now, again, this can come from the CIRB, which is the central IRB, or locally. Again, these letters are not standardized across the VA. They could come from a VA, or they could come from a university. So, for instance, we use the University of Utah Institutional Review Board for any DART studies that are done here in Salt Lake. So the key items that you need for your IRB letter is, you'll have it addressed to the PI name. You'll have the study name on the letter. There'll be an approval date. There'll be an expiration date. And it needs to be signed by the chair of the IRB. And next, we'll go to the Research and Development Committee approval letter. Each VA facility has its own local Research and Development Committee office, and that is where you're going to contact the representative there and gain access to your R&D committee approval letter. All IRB approved research studies in DART must have the R&D approval letter for each location participating in the study. So again, if you're doing a three-site study where you have investigators from three different sites, we do need an R&D approval letter for each of those three sites. And that would be loaded into DART as well. The research protocol. Now this is kind of, I've put together a slide here that shows some of which you'll want to put in your protocol. Obviously, this can be all of this, some of this. I just put together, an introductory paragraph, statement of the problem, the purpose of your study. What are your aims? The significance of the study, research questions, hypothesis, null hypothesis, things like that. Your background, methodology, your procedure and your time frame that you're looking to complete the study in, the analysis plan, any scope and limitations. Like I said, this is, just kind of an example of what you could put into your research protocol. HIPAA waivers. Again, these are not standardized across the VA. So the key items that you need on the waiver would be the VA facility name, your station number, the title of the study, the PI name, principal investigator, a brief description of PHI used for your IRB, and it must have the chair of the IRB signature on this form. Now, I say that they're not standardized across the VA necessarily, but we do have a form on our VHA data portal that you can use. It's Form 10-0521, and it captures this information as well. And it's a template form so that you can go ahead and use that if you'd like. So I'll move on to the Real SSN Access Request Form. If you need Real SSN Access, you would be required to fill this form out, and I've got three slides showing, each part of the form. Section A here is for the principal investigator. You'll put in your PI and the project name. And then you're going to check the boxes that indicate why the project needs the Real SSN access, and you'll just simply click on any of these boxes, and the page number, right in the page number from the protocol where this information is located. And then obviously the PI will sign and date this portion of the form. On the second portion of the form, that is for your IRB chair. So you'll want to fill out the name of the IRB chair, your project's IRB number that'll be found on the IRB approval letter, and the IRB committee affiliation name. So for instance, if you were in Utah here in Salt Lake, it would be the University of Utah. And then we have different checkboxes depending on what you have indicated in your protocol, HIPAA authorization or waiver of HIPAA authorization, and informed consent or waiver of informed consent. At least three of these boxes need to be checked yes. And that's based on, obviously, your study's protocol. You'll get the signature of your IRB chair and date for this. And then lastly, we will have the Associate Chief of Staff for Research put in their name and your VA facility name, and you'll have them sign it. We still do accept written signatures. We are trying to move to complete electronic signatures, but we haven't got there quite yet. So wet signatures are still considered viable. Here we have our CDW domain checklist. There's always a lot of questions on what each of these are and where you can find information about each one of these domains. When you check on the data source for CDW production or CDW raw domains in the DART data sources page, you'll also need to then fill out this form. Now, we can help you with mapping some of the data that you'll need by doing what's called a data needs assessment from our data specialist here in Vinci. And that can be requested through vinci@va.gov. And basically, you would request, attach your protocol and put in any of the information that you're looking for as far as ICD-9 or 10 codes, CPT codes, inclusion and exclusion criteria, dates, stations, and so on. If you want more information on that, you can certainly contact us at vinci@va.gov and we can point you in the right direction. This is the top of the form. Here's the bottom of the form where we also have other data as well. And you can see we've got some OMOP common data models in there. We've got some PSSG geocoded files. We've got some Vinci natural language process output. I'm not a data specialist, so I don't know everything about this. But you can go find a lot of information about these domains at this link at the bottom from VIRAC. And there's different fact books that you can go into and find all the different domains that you're looking for and what views and schemas that they have within those domains. All right, the CPRI and JLV access form, also known as the EHR form, also known as the special user access request form, also known as the research access to VA electronic health records form. We are trying to standardize this across the board so that people can find this easily, as it is noted right now on our VHA data portal as the special user access request form. So basically, this is the form where you're going to fill in all of your name, VA address, job title, work phone, station number, social security number, date of birth, ISO name, ISO email, information security officer name, the information security officer email, the protocol name here, the DART tracking number, your IRB approval date, your IRB expiration date. And if you happen to be a cooperative studies program study, you would put in your CSP number right here. You would also, you can check CAPRI and Joint Legacy Viewer, as well as the level of access. Most people are going to put national because if you're looking for electronic health records through these applications, then you're looking nationally. If you're looking for just your own station, you can use CPRS. And so you want to go national in most cases on this. Approvals, again, are for the individual requesting access. So anybody who is going to try to get access to CAPRI or Joint Legacy Viewer will need to fill out this form in entirety. You'll sign it. You'll need your PI or principal investigator to sign it. And then finally, the name of the approving authority, which is the ACOS of Research or the Chief of Staff of Research. So that's kind of that form in a quick nutshell. And I go into some tips and tricks. When do I need to update a new research request memo? Again, those are when you add or remove participants that need data access. You're adding any data sources or domains for the CDW checklist. You're updating you don't need it for updating your IRB. If you're just doing a continuing review, then you can amend your DART, but you don't need to use or update the research request memo. What am I missing? Missing one other one. Add or remove participants. I think we went through it earlier, so I'm pretty sure we've got that. Are digital signatures required? Not yet. And again, yet, I stress. We are trying to go to all electronic and digital signature forms, so keep an eye out on our forms page on the VHA data portal for any new forms that are put out there so that you can use the latest and greatest form. Who signed the line items 22 and 23 on the JLV access form? Well, this actually has changed, so there is no line items 22 and 23. However, it's basically the name of the approving authority, which is your ACOS of Research. And lastly, if you're not sure on an item, please contact us. We are here for your support. We're here to answer your questions. We're here to give you guidance. We don't want you being stuck somewhere on a DART application. We can get you through it in a quick phone call or a couple of emails normally. So again, vinci@va.gov. Contact us for anything that you're not sure of, and we'd be happy to help. Wanted to go over some of our resources that we have available on the VA intranet. We do have a Vinci Central website, which contains everything Vinci. We also have our VHA data portal for DART, which contains all of the forms that we've gone through in this presentation. Then we also have two other links on how to look at data sources. So there's a CDW metadata documentation found on the link shown. And then VIREC also has their fact books on CDW documentation for the data sources. great places to check those out. And again, those can be accessed also through Vinci Central. So if you do go to Vinci Central, a lot of this information will be found as well. And I believe that concludes today's presentation, and I am open to questions at this point.
That's good, because you have a number of them queued up.
All right, let's go.
Excuse me, sorry. Number one, how would you classify a VA contracted employee? And by the way, most of these are regarding the research request memo, although you probably know that.
Yep. Okay, could you repeat that question, the contractor?
Yeah, I'm sorry. How would you classify a VA contracted employee?
VA contracted employees can be on contracts either from the well, that's a good question. There are contracts through the VA that you can be on to also be on a research study. As far as the exact specifications of what that contractor is, I'd have to get more information on that for you. I'd be happy to look into that. If you could send me an email at vinci@va.gov, we'll get more information about the contractor portion of things.
Okay, next question. What is the difference between real SSN and scrambled SSN? That is, for what purposes do investigators request real SSN access?
Real SSN access is required for data sources such as CAPRI and Joint Legacy Viewer, TIU text notes, possibly a few other ones. And just because of the fact that the data that you're going to get delivered to you is going to have real SSNs in the data itself, so you have to have justification and access to be able to have that. Scrambled SSNs are an algorithm to the actual real SSN. It scrambles it up. But in the purposes of that, you can also get, if you're looking for the last four digits of the Social Security number, if that's good enough for what you're doing on your study to match up any records or anything like that, you can pick scrambled SSN, and then our Vinci data managers can work with you on getting the last four Social Security number out of the scrambled SSN.
Thank you. Do we have to submit our research project first through DART in order to submit a research request memo, or can we request without a DART submission?
Now, this is all related to DART. So these are all forms that are required in DART. So if you're going to end up filling out a research request memo, that means that you're going to be filling out a full DART request. And again, we do have a concierge service that helps with questions on how to use DART, and so we'd be happy to help, again, just by emailing us.
Next question. Do you need to have a specified start date when requesting data tables?
The start date is that shows on the activity information page on the first part of DART. That's basically when you're you know, you're submitting to your IRB and starting your actual project. So it's just basically when you're actually starting your project.
Okay, thank you. Hi, this might be rudimentary, but I'm new at VA. As an employee, do I still need to do a DART application if I want to pursue a data project?
If you're pursuing a research project and you are not getting local, you're not able to do it locally, there are some facilities that have said, please use Vinci for any research studies whatsoever. So if you need to do a research study, most likely you'll be doing it through Vinci. Otherwise, you can do it locally if you have the resources, but here at Vinci, we can also help.
For the Capri JLV access form, do you put the PI's name and info?
Yes, you do put their, I believe, name and email address on that form.
We have a lot of users with concerns about putting their SSN on the Capri form. Is it absolutely required, or may we omit this?
I was anticipating this question. There is a lot of contention in putting that information on a form like this, and we are working with National Data Systems to implement a new way of doing these electronic forms so that that information is more protected than it is now. And yes, you do need your Social Security number and date of birth on that form because your user access, username and password are directly related to your Social Security number.
Okay, thank you. I am aware of ICN identification numbers, which I will use in my research to link tables within CDW. Would I select real SSN for the DART request?
If you're just using patient ICNs, you can use PHI, but no scrambled or real SSN. The patient ICN is considered just identifiable information. So you can use basically the third box down on the identifiers page.
Thank you. If I need to request data from the CDW and I just want it for study recruitment purposes, not data analysis, in the form of an Excel spreadsheet with patient contact information, how can I get that information?
That's a good question. Our Vinci data managers provision the data out of the CDW database, which is in SQL format. And so the data that you're going to be receiving is going to be in SQL format. As far as getting the patient list in an Excel spreadsheet format, that's something that we would look at on a case-by-case basis. So you would want to send an email to vinci@va.gov with the requirements that you're looking for, and we at Vinci will take a look at the request and see if it's something that we can do or we can't do. So it's really a step-by-step, one-by-one type of thing that we need to actually look at and see if we can do. So your best bet is to email us for something like that, and we will determine if it's feasible.
John, we have about 6 minutes left, and we have six or seven questions. That means we may go over a little bit. Is that okay with you?
I'm okay with it, yeah.
Okay. Audience members, if we do go over a little and you have to leave right at 3 o'clock my time, please just do stick around for the survey that comes up immediately after exiting. We count on that to continue to bring high-quality cyber seminars. And, Ron, the next question is, for Capri access, if the PI is requesting access, does he, she sign both box 1 and 2 in the form, or do they leave box – I'm sorry.
I'm sorry to interrupt. If you're a PI and you're asking for that, you just need your supervisor's signature on top of that, and then the ACOS of research.
Okay, I guess the follow-up, you addressed it. To confirm, if you are using electronic health record, BIREC, CMS, or vital status file, then you would request Capri Vista access. Is that correct?
The vital status file is actually through CDW, and so you can you don't need that form for vital status. Yeah, that's an actual checkbox in Dart on a data source. What was the other part of that question, Rob?
Let me read the whole thing again, okay, because I kind of botched it.
Sure.
Confirm, if you're using electronic health record, BIREC, CMS, or vital status file, those are all commas in between those, then you would request Capri Vista access, correct?
Not necessarily. If basically you're going to, if you're requesting Capri access or Joint Legacy Viewer access, you're looking to get into national electronic healthcare records. So as far as the other data sources go, it's not required to have Capri access for that. It's just a separate data source, basically.
Okay. Thank you. We have IRB approval for our study. However, the data is allowed to use on Martinburg Serve. How can we request to use data for that study on Vinci?
Simply amend your Dart and add Vinci as the data access as well as your local server on the data sources page, and then you would update your research request memo to show that you're going to use both VA local server and Vinci, and then you can be able to get access into the Vinci workspace.
Okay. Is there any other way to get this type of data access for research, any other way than through Dart request, through a Dart request?
For IRB research studies, Dart is the only way to go.
Awesome. My questions referred to the data range, the data being requested. We usually have, say, January 1st, 2017 to present, but I have come across RRMs that request for all data, not date provided. I'm not sure. That may have been a clarification when you gave an answer earlier.
Oh, okay.
So I apologize. This person has a follow-up question, but I'm not sure what their first question was. I already have access to much of the data, but do I need formal permission to pursue it for a research project other than informing my section chief and from whom? Thank you.
For that one, I'd like to get some more information from you. If you could email us at vinci@va.gov with a little more information on that, I'd be happy to take a look at that and answer that question on a one-on-one basis.
Okay, this is the last pending question. If a clinician investigator already has JLV access for clinical work, do they need to re-request access for research reasons?
Yes, they would.
Ron, at this time, we have no more pending questions. So at 2:59, I guess this is probably a good time for you to give us any wrap-up comments that you might have.
Well, I certainly appreciate your attendance today. We have continued to strive to make Dart easier and more user-friendly, and that's why we also wanted to go through some of the forms as well today. As the last DART cyber seminar that I did back in the end of April 2017. That has information about how to actually fill out the full DART itself. But we got some feedback that people wanted information on the forms as well. So that's why I wanted to go over that today. So I really appreciate you spending the time with me as well as Rob from HSR&D and to listen to what we have to say at Vinci and what we have to offer. Again, if you have any questions about what we can offer you through Vinci, please send us an email at vinci@va.gov, and we'd be happy to address your questions. And I really appreciate your time today spending that with me. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Aaron, and thank you, everybody, for tuning in today. Have a good rest of the day.